No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are so welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the second day of September. I might just do that all month, if I'm going to be honest. I just might. Today is the second day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I am so glad that you are here. And today is a very exciting day. This is a very, 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 very first thing for us to announce. And I'm going to make you wait all the way till the end to find out what it is. Because the Bible is the main reason that we're here. So let's jump in. We've got a lot to get to today. Today we are reading Ezekiel chapters 20 and 21. This week we are reading the New International Version. Ezekiel chapter 20. In the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day, some of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord, and they sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Have you come to inquire of me? As surely as I live, I will not let you inquire of me, declares the sovereign Lord. Will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man? Then confront them with the detestable practices of their ancestors and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. On the day I chose Israel, I swore with uplifted hand to the descendants of Jacob and revealed myself to them in Egypt. With uplifted hand, I said to them, I am the Lord your God. On that day, I swore to them that I would bring them out of Egypt into a land I had searched out for them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most beautiful of all lands. And I said to them, each of you, get rid of the vile images you have set your eyes on, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not listen to me. They did not get rid of the vile images they had set their eyes on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and spend my anger against them in Egypt. But for the sake of my name, I brought them out of Egypt. I did it to keep my name from being profaned in the eyes of the nations among whom they lived and in whose sight I had revealed myself to the Israelites. Therefore, I led them out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my decrees and made known to them my laws by which the person who obeys them will live. Also, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. Yet the people of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not follow my decrees, but rejected my laws by which the person who obeys them will live. And they utterly desecrated my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and destroy them in the wilderness. But for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, with uplifted hand, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land I had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most beautiful of all lands, because they rejected my laws and did not follow my decrees and desecrated my Sabbaths, for their hearts were devoted to their idols. Yet I looked on them with pity and did not destroy them or put an end to them in the wilderness. I said to their children in the wilderness, do not follow the statutes of your parents or keep their laws or defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not follow my decrees. They were not careful to keep my laws, of which I said, the person who obeys them will live by them. and they desecrated my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and spend my anger against them in the wilderness. But I withheld my hand, and for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also with uplifted hand, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would disperse them among the nations and scatter them through the countries, because they had not obeyed my laws, but had rejected my decrees and desecrated my Sabbaths, and their eyes lusted after their parents' idols. So I gave them other statutes that were not good, and laws through which they could not live. I defiled them through their gifts, the sacrifice of every firstborn, that I might fill them with horror, so that they would know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In this also your ancestors blasphemed me by being unfaithful to me when I brought them into the land I had sworn to give them, and they saw any high hill or any leafy tree. There they offered their sacrifices, made offerings that aroused my anger, presented their fragrant incense, and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said to them, what is this high place you go to? It is called Bema to this day. Therefore, say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Will you defile yourselves the way your ancestors did, and lust after their vile images? When you offer your gifts, the sacrifice of your children in the fire, you continue to defile yourselves with all your idols to this day. Am I to let you inquire of me, you Israelites? As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will not let you inquire of me. You say, we want to be like the nations, like the peoples of the world who serve wood and stone. But what you have in mind will never happen. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will reign over you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with outpoured wrath, I will bring you from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath, I will bring you into the wilderness of the nations, and there face to face, I will execute judgment upon you. As I judged your ancestors in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will judge you, declares the sovereign Lord. I will take note of you as you pass under my rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge you of those who revolt and rebel against me. Although I will bring them out of the land where they are living, yet they will not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, people of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Go and serve your idols, every one of you. But afterward, you will surely listen to me and no longer profane my holy name with your gifts and idols. For on my holy mountain, the high mountain of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord, there in the land all the people of Israel will serve me, and there I will accept them. There I will require your offerings and your choice gifts, along with all your holy sacrifices. I will accept you as fragrant incense when I bring you out from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be proved holy through you in the sight of the nations. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, the land I had sworn with uplifted hand to give to your ancestors. There you will remember your conduct and all the actions by which you have defiled yourselves, and you will loathe yourselves for all the evil you have done. You will know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, and not according to your evil ways and your corrupt practices, you people of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face toward the south, preach against the south and prophesy against the forest of the southland. Say to the southern forest, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am about to set fire to you, and it will consume all your trees, both green and dry. The blazing flame will not be quenched, and every face from south to north will be scorched by it. Everyone will see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It will not be quenched. Then I said, Sovereign Lord, they are saying of me, isn't he just telling parables? The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Jerusalem and preach against the sanctuary. Prophesy against the land of Israel and say to her, this is what the Lord says. I am against you. I will draw my sword from its sheath and cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked. Because I am going to cut off the righteous and the wicked, my sword will be unsheathed against everyone from south to north. Then all people will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword from its sheath. It will not return again. Therefore groan, son of man, groan before them with broken heart and bitter grief. And when they ask you, why are you groaning? You shall say, because of the news that is coming. Every heart will melt with fear and every hand go limp. Every spirit will become faint and every leg will be wet with urine. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord says, a sword sharpened and polished, sharpened for the slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Shall we rejoice in the scepter of my royal son? The sword despises every such stick. The sword is appointed to be polished, to be grasped with the hand. It is sharpened and polished, made ready for the hand of the slayer. Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the princes of Israel. They are thrown to the sword along with my people. Therefore, beat your breast. Testing will surely come. And what if even the scepter which the sword despises does not continue, declares the Sovereign Lord. So then, son of man, prophesy, and strike your hands together. Let the sword strike twice, even three times. It is a sword for slaughter, a sword for great slaughter, closing in on them from every side, so that hearts may melt with fear, and the fallen be many. I have stationed the sword for slaughter at all their gates. Look, it is forged to strike like lightning. It is grasped for slaughter. Slash to the right, you sword, then to the left, wherever your blade is turned. I too will strike my hands together, and my wrath will subdue. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man. Mark out two roads for the sword of the king of Babylon to take, both starting from the same country. Make a signpost where the road branches off to the city. Mark out one road for the sword to come against Rabbah of the Ammonites, and another against Judah and fortified Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon will stop at the fork in the road, at the junction of the two roads, to seek an omen. He will cast lots with arrows. He will consult his idols. He will examine the liver. Into his right hand will come the lot for Jerusalem, where he is to set up battering rams, to give the command to slaughter, to sound the battle cry, to set battering rams against the gates, to build a ramp and to erect siege works. It will seem like a false omen to those who have sworn allegiance to him, but he will remind them of their guilt and take them captive. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you people have brought to mind your guilt by your open rebellion, revealing your sins in all that you do because you have done this, you will be taken captive. You profane and wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come, whose time of punishment has reached its climax. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Take off the turban, remove the crown. It will not be as it was, The lowly will be exalted, and the exalted will be brought low. A ruin. I will make it a ruin. The crown will not be restored until he to whom it rightfully belongs shall come. To him I will give it. And you, son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says about the Ammonites and their insults. A sword drawn for the slaughter, polished to consume and to flash like lightning. Despite false visions concerning you and lying divinations about you, it will be laid on the necks of the wicked who are to be slain, whose day has come, whose time of punishment has reached its climax. Let the sword return to its sheath, and the place where you were created, and the land of your ancestry. I will judge you. I will pour out my wrath on you and breathe out my fiery anger against you. I will deliver you into the hands of brutal men, men skilled in destruction. You will be fuel for the fire. Your blood will be shed in your land. You will be remembered no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you for being here with us. We have so much to thank you for, and oftentimes we do not want to thank you for reminding us of our part to play in this covenantal relationship with you when we surrender ourselves to you, saying that we will have no other gods. We will put no one else above you. And yet we do. And we hear these reminders. We don't want to thank you for them. We want to push you away for them, because we don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear just like the children of Israel did. We want to hear what makes us feel good. We want to hear and be reminded of the goodness that you have for us that is still to come. But the goodness that is to come, that is of you, can come after the evil of our own heart is purged and burned away. Purge us. Burn it all away and purify us. This is my prayer today, and I pray it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, as promised, without any further ado, today is the day.
Welcome back to another story time with Brian and Jill.
Story time? Is that what this is?
I don't know. It's kind of what we do, is tell stories.
Yeah.
Spend some time.
20th year anniversary extravaganza continues.
Another installment. It's great to be here with you, my beloved.
It's great to be here with you. I love these little sacred spaces of conversations.
Yeah. It's great to be here with you and everyone else who is here with us. Look at all those friends out there.
I see all of the lights lighting up the globe all over the world.
Yeah, so great to be here for another opportunity to share.
Mm-hmm.
So today, obviously we've been celebrating 20 years, and hopefully we get into 21 years and 22 years, and we're doing more and more and more of this.
I hope so.
Sharing stories and insights and things that we're learning along the way. Mm-hmm. As we continue this journey, but we've been doing a lot of looking back to look forward in this 20th year. And so a lot of music, and that's been a lot of fun. Today is a story, but it doesn't lead to a new song.
No.
It leads to something that we've never, ever done before.
I've been so excited about this. And then I'm so tired today that my excitement just feels...
This is such a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
Something dreamed about for years and years and years. And finally, something that's finally here. And so we do have to tell a story, though.
Yeah.
We have to go back. I guess we have to go back and start with Ezekiel.
Kindergarten.
I think we should start at the beginning. Ezekiel was born into this community. And on the day that he was born, it was a scary day. And there were moments of profound fear for us both when it was becoming really difficult for Ezekiel to be born. And we were trying to have him at home, and it was just getting very stressful, and he was under duress, and your body was getting weaker and weaker. And so we had to end up at the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, I just knew something was not right.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's funny about that is I kept saying, I want a small baby.
Yeah.
I have really big babies. To the point where my midwife was like, Jill, everybody and their sister knows you want a small baby and you don't want to go past your due date. And I was like, oh, well, as long as we're clear. Okay. But he was our biggest, and he was so big that they later said that his size is what helped the distress. Because he was so big and so healthy, even though my body was in distress because he was so big, but his size actually helped with what was happening.
Yeah. Nevertheless, what was happening was we're in the hospital, we're in the ER, they're wheeling you in and out of places, and I don't know where you are. And then finally, I'm with you, and they've got you hooked up to every monitor. And man, it's not too long before a doctor saying, look, this heart rate is not right. The stamina of you, the mother, is not good. Like, we need to do emergency surgery. Mm-hmm. And we need you guys to decide in the next minute, basically. And
I said, let's get an epidural, slow everything down. I want to have him naturally. I don't want to have C-section. And he said, that's not an option.
Yeah.
You've got one choice, and I just need you to say it's okay.
So here we are, like, making this quick decision. You're not doing great. Ezekiel's not doing great. They're about to wheel you away, and I don't know if I'm ever going to see you again.
Yeah.
And that scared me. And I guess we made sure we told each other we loved each other.
I didn't know we're going back to this. Yeah, as they're wheeling, I heard the midwife who stayed with us say, Brian, they're not going to let you go past this point. My body is shaking uncontrollably, and I said, stop. I need to kiss my husband.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they took me back to you or let you come up, but I was like, wait a minute, there's not been a moment. I need this moment with you before.
Yeah.
I'm determined not to cry, so I'm trying not to cry.
Yeah, me too. So then you went through the double doors and you were gone. And I went back to the room that you were in, and you know, the hospital bed's gone now, so I'm just like, there's a chair in there, and it's this empty hospital room. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And I just remember at that point being able to reach out to this community and just put an alert out, like, this is what's going on, and would anybody who sees or hears this, or, you know, would you pray for us? And responses kind of came quickly, really, really, really fast. The surgery was really fast as well. So I'm sitting there thinking, I have no idea what's about to happen or how long this is going to take. But I started seeing people show up. And people in this community remember. Like, remember when they started listening to the Daily Audio Bible, because it was the year Ezekiel was born. Like, it was, they remember Ezekiel being born. So many people remember Ezekiel being born. And that's a long time ago, 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a big marker, a big thing. And sure enough, it wasn't that long, and they're calling me into the nursery, and they're bringing the baby in and weighing him and doing all the things and putting him in my arms. And I'm thinking, this is beautiful. I'm hello, son. Like, it's so nice to meet you. But I didn't see it happening that way. I saw him being born and being put on your chest, and that's how it was supposed to go, and that's how it was planned to go. And so I'm holding him, and then I remember bringing him to meet you. And we have a picture of that. And that was beautiful. So that's chapter one of this story. Ezekiel is born.
I woke up in the bed, not knowing what was going on, to, you are 10 pounds, 5 ounces, 10 pounds, 5 ounces, but your voice brought me to, and I just remember you standing there holding him and saying, is that our baby?
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out what just happened.
Yeah.
Then remember thanking God we made it.
Yeah, me too. And so Ezekiel comes into the world and he's the Daily Audio baby. And he travels the world, actually, his first years all over the world with us. And he continues to grow into a toddler. You know, he takes his first steps and he learns how to talk. And he's our little man. And as the story goes, kids grow up and they become of school age. And that was like a hard thing. Like, he's going to start school. Like, we're zooming forward of several years now, but he's so excited to start school. He's been all over the world. Like, he's fearless. He's been just interacting in so many situations and scenarios that it reminds me of my own childhood. But he's ready to start school, and he's super excited. And things just don't go as planned.
Yeah. Difficult school year. Our extreme rule follower got put into a classroom with a teacher that was new to a classroom of this size, even though she had had other experience teaching. And let's just say by the time Christmas came around, she had missed a significant amount of school.
Yeah.
With some personal things going on.
Yeah, her life was in some really, really complicated, really, really deeply painful things for her. That was kind of getting translated into the classroom, and then a lot of substitute teachers. And then a lot of like, okay, half of you guys are going to go into Miss So-and-so's class, and half of you are going to go into Mr. So-and-so's class for the day.
Well, she was calling out so late. They didn't have time to find a sub, and then nobody was available. And so they would split the classroom into two and put them in different classrooms. And Ezekiel got to the point where he did not know what was going to happen when he got to school.
Right.
There were some teachers that were nicer than others. And we're supposedly in one of the best school systems in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so you think, we're missing something. They must know what they're doing. What's going on here? But it did not get better. It got worse to where little man did not want to get out of the car.
Yeah. Really, really struggled. Somebody who needed stability and predictability.
They all did. All of those children did. And he's this rule follower, like afraid to speak unless he's spoken to. And then they've got this classroom chaos, but then there's this little girl he sits by that pinches his nose till his nose bleeds, and just all of these things are happening. The librarian is not nice. He hates going to the library.
Yeah.
And so we start devising these plans, like we'll go have lunch with him. I think you went on Monday. I went on Wednesday. China went on Friday. But we could not go without him crying and wanting to come home. And then it escalated to you were taking him to school, and he was crawling over the seat to get to you. Like, it was heart-wrenching.
Yeah, brutal.
And it was so hard thinking, he is not okay, and somehow I have to make him go to this environment that he doesn't feel safe in. But we developed a really great relationship with some of the staff in the school, the school counselors, the front secretary. They knew us. They knew the situation. They were compassionate. And yet that wasn't enough for our little guy.
Yeah. And so I would drive him to school every day and we'd be fine. And we'd get into the car line and we'd get closer and closer to him having to get out of the car. And that's when he would start to be scared and start negotiating and just looking for a way to feel safe, because the closer that we got to him getting out of the car, the less safe he felt, even though it was not in any way an unsafe environment. The unpredictability of his first school experience made him feel unsafe outside of our presence. So whenever he couldn't see us, he couldn't feel stable and without anxiety. And I remember even working with a school counselor and him being able to learn to name emotions, which is a beautiful thing that still sticks with him. But because at this point, he's just a little kindergartner, so he doesn't really know what he's feeling or how to name it or what it means, or like, I'm sad or I'm scared.
Right.
Or I'm anxious.
And nobody's shaming him either for the difficulty. It's just, if we walked him in, there would be such a meltdown to where we did not feel like we could leave him in that condition. It just felt cruel.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember a story of you calling me one day. You're like, I cannot do this. He is so upset. And I just realized then the severity of the situation. And it was another meeting with the school counselor. And anyways.
Yeah. So kind of at this time, I had discovered like breath work and had started understanding how breathing can regulate your nervous system, how it can calm things down, and how being attached or even familiar with our own breath is being so directly attached to our life. And there's a lot of spiritual connections there as well, but I was just kind of reading and learning some of these things about how to clear your mind and how to clear your head, and there was just a lot going on in life in general at that point. I remember one day on the way to bringing him to school, and I'm holding his hand because that's how it went. Like, he's just a little guy. He's got to sit in the back seat, but I got my hand behind me and he's holding on my hand. And the closer that we're getting to school, the tighter he's holding on to it. We would always pray before school, always asking Jesus to give him a good day, make him brave, make him feel safe, help him to know he's not alone, help him to know that Jesus is with him. If he feels scared, he can talk to Jesus and he's there. And this would kind of be our prayer. And he would be such a brave little man until his little bottom lip starts quivering and he has to, you know, get out of the car. And so one day, I guess came out of nowhere, I just said, Zeke, let's breathe. Let's just breathe. And you had been doing some work around breath as well in exercise and stuff and just learning breath. And so that was kind of on both of our radar and in different ways for different reasons. But I just ask Zeke, let's just breathe together. And so we take a deep breath in and blow it out and take another one. Let's take another one. Because I was thinking maybe this will settle his nervous system down a little bit. Let's take another breath and let's blow it out really slow. Let's take another deep breath. Let's do this together. And just thinking that it would help, and it did help. And one day, the prayer and the breath kind of got combined into this little thing where I said, Ezekiel, let's take a deep breath in, and then while we're blowing out our breath, let's say, Jesus, be with us. Jesus, be with me. And so that's how it would go. Jesus, be with us. And that's exactly how he would do it, with a little whistle in his breath as he blew the rest of his breath out. Jesus, be with us. And that became our little mantra, our little prayer every morning. And we started calling it the breathing prayer. And then you would start doing it with him anytime he would feel anxious. We would do it at bedtime. We'd do it anytime he felt an emotion that was overwhelming to him. Take a deep breath. Jesus, be with us. And that became like a thing, the breathing prayer. We started calling it the breathing prayer. Let's do the breathing prayer. Anytime there's an overwhelming moment, let's do the breathing prayer. And any of those of you out there that have been to Israel with us, like, I started teaching the breathing prayer in Israel a couple times in the Valley of the Doves, in this really, really beautiful, serene place. And telling a little bit of this story, not to this degree or at this length, but the breathing prayer was something that became a part of Ezekiel's young life and a part of his school experience And we wanted to never forget that. And so you found a way. You had a dream. You dreamed up how we could do that. How did that inspiration come to you?
I don't know. I mean, I wish there was a great story around it where I was like eating Chipotle. And as I ate my burrito, a vision came to me as I took a breath and inhaled the chicken burrito. But it's nothing like that. It's like it popped into my head and I was thinking, wow, what a great concept that we could share with other people, especially kids. I think fear was just such a big part of my young life.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about this, but
the
fear of, honestly, the fear of hell and imperfection and going to hell and the rapture, and I'm going to do that one thing and truly get left behind. So let me get this as perfect as possible. But just so much fear that my house would burn down.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I could have used this.
We both have these similar stories of those kinds of fears, separation fears.
Yeah, just separation. I mean, I know you say that you identify, you know, your young self in him, and I do every bit as well. Just such a rule follower and afraid to talk to people. Like I would look at my dad for permission to answer somebody. Just so much fear. Like even if I had allowance and I'm going to buy a toy, I would just panic inside that I'm not going to have enough money. I'm going to have to put the toy back. I'm going to be embarrassed. And how am I going to deal with all of this? And so I guess I just thought, man, what a great reminder that we know that Jesus is with us always, but are we going to remember to take him with us? Are we going to remember that he's there? Like that's a relationship. He's there. It's not just, well, we'll pull him out on Sunday.
Yeah.
And whoop up into this thing. Emotionalism and call it a great movement of God, but an actual relationship where he's present, available, his spirit is in us, among us, and utilizable. Is that the right word? I'm so tired.
That's good.
Utilizable.
I like it.
We're able to utilize the spirit. The
accessible, maybe.
Accessible. There it is. I knew I was so close. The fruit of the spirit. It's available. Peace, love, joy, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Yeah. So it just was like, could we do this? We write songs. Could we write a little, I guess I'm about to say it.
Yeah.
Can we write a children's book? Could we write a children's book that would benefit an adult as well?
Yeah, and that would tell this story that we've just told at length.
Yeah.
And you sat down?
Well, actually, I sat down. I was like, I don't even know where to begin. I kept looking at it. I don't know where to begin. Sometimes a beginning just comes to you, and sometimes it's like, oh, that's a great middle, but it's not. So we're like, let's take to Ezekiel to dinner, and let's talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And so you and I are sitting down, and we're like trying to pull this thing out of him in a very adult way that we're kind of pulling things apart, and he pulls out his phone. We don't know what he's doing. And he's like, here, I got the first part of the book. And he just went with it.
Yeah.
And he said it in his words, and it was so great for him to be able to express what he experienced several years after that.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't as fearful anymore. I mean, there's still a lot of fear and anxiety and things, but we took him out of the school just to help for his comfort zone. I mean, everyone can do what's comfortable for them, and that's what was good for us. And so he could talk about it, and it was just a great beginning. And so I was like, here we go. Here's the bones. Let's work the structure.
Yeah. And you did.
And we did.
And you went through several revisions to get this story right.
Here's the funny thing about that. We're in the from the music business. I can remember. Oh wow! I can remember so many times I thought, God gave me the song. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah.
Right. We think there's this inspiration. Not that there's not, but this inspiration of it. Sometimes people do write magic. It just comes.
Yes.
You know, like
rarely, but yes.
Rarely, but these giants in the song reading is like, I sat down and the pen didn't stop till it was done. That's rarely. And so I remember talking to somebody and the frustration of people giving you stuff and holding on to it so tight. Well, no, God gave me this. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, great, go ask him for the revisions. Yeah. If he gave it to you, surely he'll give you the revisions. And so it took a little while. We got stuck in the revisions. My mind got overwhelmed. Too many words, too many thoughts, too many ideas, but you don't know how to narrow them down. It was a lot of working and then sitting it down, walking away for a little bit. So it took longer than I wanted it to. But then I just kept chiseling it off and gave it to you and said, work your magic.
Kind of go through some final passes and try to... Well, I mean, we just ended up with this is the story.
Smooth the rough edges and let's just call it good.
And let's make this thing. And so then getting illustrations, getting Ezekiel right, getting mm-hmm. a look, getting a kind of a tone palette, going to plenty of bookstores and looking at plenty of, like, we never did this before. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of media things. This has been our lives. We've never done something specifically like in that space, like a children's book.
But also thinking about it in terms of, yes, this is geared towards children so that they can put words with emotions or emotions to words and know that they don't feel alone. But I don't know any adult that wouldn't be able to, or being honest, say, yeah, I am there too.
1,000%. There have been times when that is the only prayer I've got. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can even say, the only words I can even say, the breathing prayer. Just Jesus be with me. Mm-hmm. And try to breathe through it. So there's no question that it's not just for kids, but it came out of that story. It came out of a kid's story. And we wanted to illustrate it in such a way that it captured Ezekiel.
Yeah,
as a little boy, and
we absolutely needed it to be true to his experience because it wouldn't have happened without his experience and being on the other side of that.
Yeah. And so we made this beautiful children's book. just feeling really like pulled in a direction like, now it's time for back to school. This is kind of where we are in the year. Mm-hmm. Here in the South, the kids have been back a couple weeks now, but different parts of the country.
And we don't want to stop at school, even though it is during this time. But I can remember times not being able to drop the kids off at the nursery because mm-hmm. there was a lot of fear and anxiety. Yeah. And it just, I think as a parent, as an adult, you vacillate back and forth between trying to teach them to be brave and do something outside of their comfort zone and honoring where they're at and honoring that today's not the day.
Yeah.
Today's not the day that I'm going to want them to be this brave and ask them to do something that feels really, really scary to
right.
them.
Right. 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 And so this is just a time of year that we're moving. Like the summer comes to an end and this new rhythm starts. And so anxiety is there for kids. As they're adjusting to a rhythm, anxiety is there for us. The year from here only gets a bit busier and busier and busier. And so mm-hmm. we just thought this is the right time. And we planned for this. And I'm so excited. Actually, we've been excited for this for so long now.
Yeah.
Dreaming of it for so long. And then working through the entire creation of it and all of those months and just manufacturing and just all of those months. And to actually have been able to hold a finished copy and go, wow, that mm-hmm. is the breathing prayer.
Yeah.
It's called the breathing prayer, a little prayer for big feelings.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And it's available now today. And we're excited to do this. It's part of our 20th year anniversary celebration. It's a piece of our personal story. A piece of Ezekiel's life. who's been here reading Daily Audio Bible Kids for years now and is the Daily Audio baby. And so it's like those of you who remember when he was born, this is a piece of his story and his life. And so we are over the moon excited to introduce you to the breathing prayer. And it is as simple as that. Take a deep breath, ask Jesus to be with you, and then exhale. And then do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then do it again. And then do it again until it starts to hit your spirit, starts to work in your nervous system. And it actually works.
And can we talk about what works means? Because I think it's important that we're not trying to sell magic here.
Right.
We're just simply trying to remember to state a truth and a promise that is available to every single one of us.
And to become present to it.
Right.
And to become aware of it. And to realize the fact that we're breathing at all is a gift. And it's taken in and it's given back.
Yeah.
And inviting Jesus to be with us in those things that take our breath away.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to find our breath and remember that he's here and we can breathe through it.
Yeah. And we're not alone. Lonely is a feeling. Lonely is a state. But we're not alone. And the world can be scary. Outside of our comfort zones and safety zones are scary. But the presence of God is the safest place. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you did a beautiful job. I remember you sending me the final copies and pages. And I was like, this is more beautiful than I imagine.
I think we always, as creatives, strive for excellence. And I think this is, it's beautiful. And it's a beautiful portrayal of what we're talking about here. And so, if you got kids, struggle with anxiety, this is for them. If you got grandkids, this is such a great, simple, short children's book to read to them. This is a great bedtime story.
Mm-hmm.
If you got anxiety and you're an adult,
mm-hmm.
this is a beautiful, beautiful reminder of how to get centered again and grounded again. And so, the breathing prayer.
It's so crazy. It's here.
It's here.
Today.
A little prayer for big feelings. You can get it.
Get it today.
You can get it now at the Daily Audio Bible Shop, whether that's on the app or on the web. Go to the shop, dailyaudiobible.com. And you'll find the breathing prayer.
And should we talk about if you want more than one copy?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you would like to purchase a bunch and give them away, if you buy five, you'll get one free. And they do make just beautiful gifts. Beautiful gift. I will give this
absolutely
away to a lot of
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we just a couple of days ago sat down at this table, Ezekiel, myself, and Jill, and the first 500 copies that are ordered are signed. We all sat in a row and signed them. And so those first 500 will be signed by Ezekiel and Jill and myself, and they are available now.
Today.
So go and grab yourself the breathing prayer, a little prayer for big feelings as a part of our 20th year anniversary celebration.
And we hope you love it. And we hope that you'll use it. And we hope that you'll remember Jesus is always with us.
I think we should just close with the breathing prayer.
Okay.